It's your daily dose of Donna and the Gardener. Welcome to Friday's show. It's Friday, April 26th. I am running around. We had a big tree fall, and I'm so devastated about this. We have a gorgeous, gorgeous lemon tree in our front yard, and half of it broke off. So I was dealing with my gardener, talking to him about what to do with these lemons, what to do with this gorgeous tree, how to salvage this. I feel like it's a death in the family. It's like my favorite part of the front of my house. I am so sad about it, but we will persevere and we will get through this. And I am here to bring you, you know, what do they say? When you have lemons, make lemonade. So I think I'm going to make some lemonade this weekend. Maybe I'll sell it on the street and make a buck or two. All to go to the Daily Dose of Donna Fund. As you know, I am the CEO. The owner CEO of the Daily Dose of Donna firm. Yeah, I am. And today we're going to be talking all about Danielle, who's the owner CEO of God Knows What. We have so much to talk about today. Summer House is my favorite show on TV, and it did not disappoint yesterday. OMG, I'm in the DMs with Lindsay Hubbard. I can't wait to talk to you about that. We have so much going on in the Bravo sphere and more. We're going to talk about it all and more, of course, on today's Daily Dose of Donna. I had such a lovely 2 days. I'm going to now let you guys in on my secret. I was home alone for 2 straight days. Home alone. Now, if you are a CEO founder, thank you. It's not owner, it's CEO founder. If you are a mom, maybe a dad too, but if you're a mom who is never home alone because your kids are usually around, your husband's usually around, your partner, whoever. The idea of being home alone for 2 straight nights was chef's kiss. Chef's kiss. Now, when you ask yourself what I have a text thread with two guys that I went to, I've known since I was 16. We went to Israel together when we were 16. We're still good friends. These are two straight married men. And I text them 2 days ago. I said, guys, Lance and the kids are out of town for 2 days. Lance took them camping, by the way. Fishing and camping is the cutest thing ever, the pictures. But I said, Lance, they are out of town. I mean, to the guys, I said, they're out of town for 2 days. What should I do? And one of them actually said I should watch Twin Peaks. Do they know me? The other one said something about like Battlestar Galactica. I'm sorry. Now, I tried really, really hard to, you know, squeeze all of the juice of being home alone for 2 days. My dog is losing his mind because the gardener is here and I somehow let him in to my office. But I tried to squeeze all the juice out of it. So here's what I did. I finished a book and started a new book. Now I'm reading the Eleanor Oliphant book, whatever that is. Murphy, I love you. You can't. We can't be barking right now or growling. Okay. Then I totally cleaned out the boys' rooms, threw out so much of this junk. Like just, it's not even junk. It's just stuff that they just stuff, right? So I got rid of tons of stuff. I went through the junk drawer. I did laundry. I did continue to watch the D'Amelios and some more Below Deck. I think I really did as much as I possibly could with these 48 hours. It would be fun if we could do more. But my kids are going to be going to camp this summer for 3 weeks, and that will be so much fun. All right. We need to get into all the stories today on this lovely Friday because I am in Summer House, like my brain is in Summer House, but there are some stories. There are some stories that we have to get into. About Ellen DeGeneres is going to be our first one. But before I get into that, I wanted to take a quick moment to appreciate not only the moms, but anyone who's taken on the role of caregiver as Mother's Day is coming up. You do everything for everyone else. And now it's time to do something for you, starting with your skin. Today's sponsor, OneSkin, has a simple, scientifically validated routine that keeps your skin looking and feeling good. And here's the best part. It also targets the root cause of aging. Every time I say the best part, it brings me back to a movie. And the best part is he's rich. What movie is that? I feel like I'm in a brain fart moment. And the best part is he's rich. And the best part is he's rich. Did I make this up? I need to find it. The best part is he's rich. It's from a movie. Okay, I'm gonna have to come back to that. I need to know. Like, I need to remember this. Anyway, the best part is, according to Bethany, the best part is he's rich. No, the best part is it targets the root cause of aging because of the OneSkin's proprietary OS01 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin. And they've got several studies to back it up. For a limited time right now, you will get 15% off your first OneSkin purchase using the code DAILYDOSE. One word. When you check out at OneSkin.co, you do so much for others. Try OneSkin today and do something good for yourself this Mother's Day. Thanks. Okay, let's get into this story. The first story is about Ellen DeGeneres. You guys, have I talked to you about Ellen DeGeneres? Have I? If I haven't, it's about time we start. So Ellen DeGeneres is now doing some sort of comedy tour, and apparently she was in Hollywood, West Hollywood at Largo. Largo at the Coronet Theater. It's in West Hollywood. It's like a small little theater, a lot of comedians and like live podcasts will be there. It's like a really small, intimate gathering. She performed on Wednesday, and she said in this new stand-up routine that she's doing, she complained to viewers that she was kicked out of show business, and not once, but twice. It's Samantha, Sex and the City. And the best part is he's rich. It is Samantha. Oh my God. This is the way Donna's mind works. And if you don't like it, there's a daily dose of someone else out there. And the best part is he's rich. Okay, I'm going to try to find it and then we're going to play it. I just don't want to get like that copyright situation, but I'll find it. Okay, so... anyway, Ellen DeGeneres is complaining to her audience that she is getting kicked out of Hollywood again, show business, not once, but twice. She said, There's no mean people in show business. The be kind girl wasn't kind, DeGeneres said on stage during her new tour, Ellen's Last Stand Up tour. She said, I became this one-dimensional character who gave stuff away and danced up steps. Do you know how hard it is to dance up steps? Would a mean person dance up steps? Had I ended my show by saying, go F yourself, people would have been pleasantly surprised. She also reminded viewers that she also got the boot from TV when she came out as gay, thus ending her sitcom Ellen in the late 90s. Eventually, they're going to kick me out for a third time because I'm mean, old, and gay, she quipped. Okay, in case you guys don't know, Ellen DeGeneres, I'm not even going to say allegedly because, I mean, I guess I should say allegedly, but legit every single person I know that has met Ellen DeGeneres, like has worked with her or like met her in a location, like she's a mean, like she's not a nice person. And it's incredibly upsetting to know because it's like getting told that Oprah is horrible or, you know, I don't know, your hero. Ellen DeGeneres did bring so many laughs and smiles to America and the world, right? Her show was an hour of joy, and I really did enjoy watching it. But I have always known my someone in my family, I'm not going to give too much details, worked with her on her sitcom, Ellen, and was treated, when I tell you the stories that I've heard, horrendous, horrendous, horrendous. And it didn't go away. So for her to say I was, you know, my show was canceled because I'm gay, maybe so. I don't know if that's really the truth, but she eventually ended up having one of the most successful careers. Ellen DeGeneres made so much money on that show of hers. And I do think she was a horrendous person to her staff. There's so many stories of this. This is not something that, you know, like is a made up story. Okay. A lot of people in the comments, Lisa says, my BFF and godmother to my son, Jolie. Is that Jolie Fisher? I was there on set on that episode. She was so mean. Yeah. I mean, everyone knows this about Ellen DeGeneres. I remember hearing a story about her and Portia at the horse, like stables in, whether it's Griffith Park or up in Santa Barbara, horrible stories. This is not a made up thing. So for her to go on stand up and be like, can you believe that I got fired because I'm mean? And I'm obviously not. It bothers me so much. I'm like, just be honest. You're a bitch. You're a horrible bitch. Sorry. We've heard it before. We'll hear it again. And I always believe that she is, you know, anyone that is like a... I think what's very disappointing about Ellen DeGeneres is that she comes off so sweet and kind and lovely. And like the only word I can think of is fake. Because if you're that kind and that giving and that funny and that like on camera, and then the second you're off camera, you're a horrendous person. You're just a big old actor, right? If any of you guys are watching anyone on podcasts, YouTube, reality shows, and they're a certain way, and then you meet them in person and they're horrendous to you, like it's going to make you question watching them. And then you're like, oh, I'm just watching an act. I'm not into it. Definitely not feeling it. And I don't fall for it. And I don't find her funny anymore because of it. Truthfully, it's hard to watch her make jokes when you know she's actually a horrendous human being. Just saying. Okay, the next story that we have to talk about is Brittany Cartwright. So Brittany Cartwright had her podcast When Reality Hits. This is the one she has with Jax Taylor, but he has not been on the last two episodes. 2 weeks ago was Janet, who's one of the girls on The Valley. And last week, or this week, I should say, was Michelle Lally. Okay. That's Jesse and Michelle from The Valley. So the Page Six article says Brittany Cartwright is upset that she isn't a skinny, stressed girl after Jax Taylor split. She wants a revenge body. Okay. Now, we have all been through that, right? Where you go through something incredibly stressful and either you don't have an appetite and you can't eat. Maybe you have like an overappetite because of the stress. Like we have ways that we deal with these things. But the fact that she said this out loud is so trippy. It says the Valley star admitted to her listeners that she's upset that she hasn't turned into a skinny, stressed girl after the separation. I'm going to do it in Brittany's voice, okay? I'm over here praying that I get that thing when you're going through a lot of stress, she said. Why am I not getting the skinny can't eat shit vibes? Jazz. Michelle says, well, there are two, and then this is how Michelle talks, right? There are two types of women. There are the women that can't stop eating because they're stressed out. And Cartwright interrupted to explain, that's what happened to me. That's what happened to me. Like, why can't I be the other way? When Lally told her fellow Bravo celebrity to force herself, Cartwright clarified that she is trying to get back on track by following a Jenny Craig regimen and going to the gym four times a week. If we have the Valley reunion or whatever, I'm trying to get this revenge body on fleek, she said. Hopefully I'll be a skinny, stressed girl soon. Okay, I'll tell you why it's not going to work. Because I don't believe from seeing Brittany at all in the last couple weeks, I don't believe that there is a part of her that's stressed. She's laughing her way through this breakup. It's the strangest breakup you've ever seen in your life, right? The reason why she's happy to eat is because she's not sad. Like, I think she's living her best life. She has massive press. She's been on all these big podcasts. She was on Watch What Happens Live. She's, you know, she has like articles about her. She's living alone. She doesn't have to live with Jax and his like roided out, you know, pasta habit. She probably gets to sleep in the same bed with her son, which makes any mama happy. Like, I'm sure she's happy. She's also probably taking 16 shots of tequila a night. We've seen it. So I don't blame her for eating. She's happy. Let her live. But I hate that kind of that is a soundbite that gets taken out from that podcast. And I hate that I report on it. But this is the world that we live in, right? Now, if she does all of a sudden get skinny, we're going to all assume it's Ozempic because we know it's not the stress. And then finally, I just want to say one thing. Can we stop seeing articles about Kelly Clarkson looking skinny? Has anyone noticed that every single freaking morning you wake up, if you go on any sort of website or whatever, there's an article about Kelly Clarkson looking ultra skinny today. Kelly Clarkson's looking the skinniest she ever did. Kelly Clarkson wows with her skinny body. It's like Kelly Clarkson has a lot more about her than just her skinny. Then Drew Barrymore also posted a TikTok the other day of her like dancing or something to a Taylor Swift song. And she is half her size. And the comments are all Ozempic, 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 Ozempic. I think at this point, we can just kind of assume that if anyone loses weight fast, it's Ozempic. Unless they're being honest that they're, you know, not eating carbs or monitoring their calories or something. But anywho, it is annoying to have this kind of thing in the media, like this constant losing weight. How skinny are they? They look so skinny. Oh my God, she's so skinny. Because really what we should care about is the best part is he's rich. And the best part is he's rich. Yeah, that's Samantha. I even say it in her accent. And the best part is. Okay, y'all. We need to talk about Summer House. Unless there's any crazy, crazy breaking news stories in the, you know, reality landscape, which I don't think there is other than, you know, our conversations about Summer House. Is there a better show? I have not seen it. I have not seen a better show. We start Summer House right during the alien party, like smack in the middle of the alien party. Now, this is a party that I feel like has been going on for 4 weeks. Am I the only person that has felt this way? Like it is. I feel like we've been in this alien party for 3 episodes, but no, it really was just last week. But I think it's always funny because Summer House, usually the way Summer House has been edited in the past, it usually starts at the beginning of the weekend and the episode ends at the end of the weekend. This season, I'm noticing it more than ever that every episode starts like mid-weekend and then it, you know, takes them home to New York, which I'm not against. I'm actually into the New York scenes. Like I would be down for a Summer House in like a Summer House season of them just in New York. I just love this cast so much. I could watch them forever. All right. So let's take us through the episode. The beginning of the episode starts at the alien party. And of course it starts right in the middle of this Carl and Lindsay conversation. Lindsay has, you know, what's it called? Pink wig on. And she's obviously buzzed because it's the middle of a party. Carl decides of all the time, you guys, spoiler alert, Carl's on my shit list. Okay. This is spoiler alert. I want to hear if you guys disagree. Be nice, but disagree with me. Carl decides of all the times to have a conversation with Lindsay about another potential, you know, business for him, he decides to go to Lindsay in the middle of her being buzzed when he knows that she gets extra activated and he has this conversation with her. I think in my mind, Carl goes to Lindsay to be like, I'm thinking about going back to Loverboy in this non-alcoholic realm, hoping with her drinking, hoping that maybe she does get activated because I think my theory is that Carl at this point in the summer is already 100% without a doubt knows he's calling off this wedding. And this is why. Well, the entire episode is why. But he has this conversation with Lindsay and she actually handles it in the most appropriate way. She's like, babe, and in my opinion, she's like, babe, I love you, but I want you to be happy. That's the most important thing. So what do you want? Do you want to do this? Whatever you want to do, I just think it's time that you do it and you start bringing in money. Okay. People want to vilify a woman for wanting their husbands to work and make money. I do not think there's anything wrong with it. I think it's one thing to say, oh my gosh, my you know, millionaire husband is not a billionaire. Okay, shut up. But like, if you are saying that you want your husband, who is halvesies on a $14,000 per month apartment in New York City, and we watched the after show, anyone that watched the after show basically said that you saw that basically there was this 60, like preschool is $60,000 in New York City. You have to have so much money to raise kids in New York City. I mean, it's bad enough here in LA. I can only imagine even worse there. They pay so much more for their apartment in New York City than I pay for my mortgage for a home in LA. So they're having this conversation. And I personally, look, everyone comes at these with their own perspective. I'm going to tell you personally, why do I think it's important for Lindsay that Carl makes money and works? Number one, financially, you have to, right? To survive and to like keep up their lifestyle. They have this wedding they're planning. They live in this apartment. They have a lifestyle, et cetera. Number two, I don't give a crap if you say it doesn't matter to you, money's not important to you. I want to meet a man who is about to get married to a woman. I want to meet that man who doesn't feel better about themselves when they are significantly contributing to the two of you financially. And I do believe that this is a true thing. I think there's some sort of a wave of almost like a depression or a, I said it wrong yesterday. Is it emasculated or demasculated? Someone tell me in the comments. I know I said it wrong yesterday, but I think that it's a very unhappy place for a man to be, whether or not they admit it. We've seen it now with Brock and Sheena. Okay. We've seen it with Jason and Bethany. We've seen it with Tori and Dean. This is a tale as old as time. Do you even remember the Kendra Wilkinson show with Hank? Remember how Hank was like the successful guy and then all of a sudden Kendra was making more money than him and it like freaked him out? Also, Kim and Croy, this is the way these things work. Men want to make at least the same amount of money as their wives. And if they don't, there will be a shift. And I think that, you know, Lindsay is not necessarily saying you need to be rich, but she's like, you need to do something. Carl's floundering in the sun. Carl's like, I guess I'll go this way or that way or this way. And like, listen, I think he'll figure it out. But he's been this way since season one. We've never seen Carl with like a full-time serious career. He worked for Loverboy for just a quick second and that's it, right? And so it's, you know, now let's talk about what they're getting paid for, because later on it comes up that he has made, and this is summertime, right? So we're probably in July, August. He has made $70,000 just this year so far in influencer posts, and she's made double that. Now, he talks to Kyle later about the fact that she's a woman. She's a woman, so she's lucky that she can make more than me. Wow. 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 There's so much to talk about. We'll get there in a second. But I thought Lindsay handled this really well. She's like, I love you, babe, and I just want to be able to like have a kid with you. I want your children and I want to be able to afford that. And I can't have it all on me. I don't think there's anything wrong with what she said. I really don't. I think there was absolutely nothing wrong with it. So, okay. Michelle says he was a dental medical salesperson the first season. Oh, his teeth tell me different. Those teeth. Shoot me in the face with those teeth. Oh, blinded by the teeth. Hey, I'm Carl. So I thought, you guys are so sweet about Lance in the comments. Oh my gosh. I thought Lindsay was being really sweet with Carl. I've loved Lindsay. Other than these two first episodes where I thought she really did go wild with kind of like giving him this, you seem like you're on something. Other than those two moments, I think Lindsay has been great this season. And the fact that the girls are connecting with Lindsay says a lot. Okay. So we have this conversation and Carl's like, you don't think I'm crushing it? You don't think I'm crushing it? And she's like, no, I don't. And honestly, that's got to hurt because Carl has his own insecurities about his career and making enough money. But he should also be like, she wants the best for me. and I'm not doing it right now, right? So they have this conversation. I thought it ended pretty nice and pretty sweet, but clearly he was in his head. Now we're going to move on over to 100% the cringiest person on your TV screens in all of the 2000s, and that is my friend Danielle. Danielle gives massive secondhand embarrassment vibes on this show. Sometimes I think about Danielle and I wonder that I wonder what her liver looks like. That's number one. Okay. CEO founder Danielle. I wonder what her liver looks like. I wonder, she just feels like such a mess. And it's not just when she's single. That's the thing, is like, we've seen her now in a relationship for two straight seasons. And she was just the same when she was in a relationship. This girl is the CEO founder of binge drinking. Does anyone notice that Danielle is like the Jessie Lally of Summer House? I mean, Kyle sends it. Kyle parties. These people party. But no one parties like Danielle parties. She gets so drunk every single night, and then every morning she's drinking. Does anyone else notice this? I'm just saying, like, I worry for her liver. Now, she also has Mark, I'm dead. He said something that I feel like I kind of agree with. He said, I feel like Danielle would have, well, I can't say hummus. I have to say hummus breath. I feel like Danielle has tequila breath from morning till night, lover boy breath. It was too much. I mean, every episode is too much with Danielle, but we know that Danielle has her eyes set out on Balloon Guy Joe. Where is Balloon Guy Joe? If I was Joe, I would change my name and change my profession. I want to know which Hamptons party had Balloon Guy Joe show up at their house, you know, this weekend. Like, where is he? Who out there knows Balloon Guy Joe? There has to be one of you guys knows someone. So Balloon Guy Joe with his ripped jeans comes on over, and obviously Danielle's trying to hook up and she's definitely flirty with him, but she also knows that Gabby thought he was hot. And Danielle goes and sits with Gabby, and Danielle is literally the worst person ever to ever get relationship advice from, to ever get life advice from. I mean, the fact that she is a CEO founder of, you know, this microphone. Murphy, are you Danielle? Do you guys see Murphy in the corner here? Murphy, I'm recording a show. It's like giving Danielle vibes, Murphy. Little clinger. So Danielle has this conversation with Gabby, and she's basically saying, like, I'm planting seeds, and I am actually, you know, I'm kind of setting the groundwork for Joe and making Gabby feel like she'll never have any luck. This whole season. Well, I don't know if it's this whole season or just the night before when they were at the club. Everyone was like, Gabby, who are you going to hook up with? Gabby. Now, I know they mean well, but I can understand that she was probably freaking out a little bit. Like, I wonder if, you know, they think I'm lame or they think I'm a loser. But I also do think Gabby is highly picky from just what we've seen. Like, she has a lot of standards to get through. You have to have the right horoscope. You have to have this. You have to have that. It's okay. I'd rather her be picky than hook up with Balloon Guy Joe at any moment. But Danielle had, like, she, as Gabby said in the after show, she peed all over that territory with very pungent urine, which is just gross to think about because you know that Danielle's dehydrated. Let's be real. Danielle's pee is so yellow. Okay. I feel like Tori Spelling what I'm talking about. Like, I feel like my conversations are getting into the Tori Spelling gross category. Meanwhile, we have the alien Sierra and her boy West, who I ship these two. Like, I can't get enough of these two. I am so obsessed with their relationship. I think they are so cute, but I do understand why West is feeling like she's not giving him enough. And it's not about the sex. I don't think Sierra needs to give him sex to make him feel loved, but a man will, I assume, worry that the girl's not into him if she's not, like, showing him in certain ways. This is like 6-7 straight weeks of, like, kind of hooking up. And they're spending a lot of time together, right? And so what's happening here is that all of a sudden we have a situation where I think Wes is getting in his head because he's like, maybe she's not that into me. Because Sierra's playing it cool, but they're so cute. Like Sierra, all her gay guys are there and she's getting them involved with Wes and they're all friendly. And one of them touches Wes' penis. He goes, that's the first time my penis has been touched. Which, by the way, has she really not even like given it a little? She hasn't even gone to like second base in the entire summer. Now, meanwhile, we have Gabby, who gets very emotional at some point and goes to Paige and Amanda, and she starts crying to them about the fact that Danielle said all these horrible things to her and made her feel really bad. She then starts to have like a full-on hyperventilating panic attack. She goes into the bathroom and she gets on the phone with her sister. As she's on the phone with her sister and crying, Paige and Amanda are saying all the right things and being so sweet to her. Danielle, Sierra dressed like an alien, but Danielle is the real alien in the house. Danielle walks in and she, oh my God, Michelle said exactly what I feel too. Michelle says, Gabby did not want that man. She was crying because they are equating her pickiness with being lame. Danielle apparently has little to no standards. I mean, she wanted Jordan season 3. Hysterical. Yeah, Danielle will, like, literally, Danielle will hook up with anything. I think she just wants the attention. She just wants guys to like her. So she'll just hook up with anyone. So Gabby starts to get really emotional and she's like, I feel like everyone's giving me a hard time. And Danielle and Paige start talking on the bed. And Danielle's reaction to Paige is like if I have one friend in the world, I want it to be Paige. I feel like Paige is a ride or die friend. Hannah Burner is so lucky, right? Paige is saying, Danielle, you made her cry by saying what you said. Now, remember, the night before was when they were at that club and Danielle gave Paige that whole conversation, something along the lines of like, you're giving Craig nothing. Okay, I'm sorry. Are we supposed to like lick their face in public like you, Danielle? And so I think Paige is already feeling a little perturbed by Danielle. So she's like, you feel like you can say anything to anyone. You can say whatever you want. But if anyone said anything like that to you, you would completely, you know, be upset by it. And Danielle says, and this is why as a founder CEO, I understand personalities and how to talk to them and this and that. And the whole entire world that watched this episode in this moment at the exact same second did a collective head to couch face dive because we all could not believe that Danielle is that unaware of herself. Paige is the best. She goes, you're talking about being a CEO and founder of what? So Paige is like, it doesn't matter what you are. You said something to hurt her. She is now crying because of that. Danielle goes, that's stupid. If anyone ever said that about me crying, go F yourself. She's saying, Paige is like, you're saying it's stupid that she's crying, but you made her cry. Danielle says, I didn't make her cry. Paige says, you said something to her, which is making her cry. Now, it doesn't mean that Danielle's statement made her cry. I think it's probably a mix of everything. But if you know that something you said or did had anything to do with this, you would, I think a good person would stop what they're doing and say, hey, I love you. I am so sorry. I did not mean to say anything to hurt your feelings. The problem with Danielle is that she's way too invested in this guy and the drinking, in my opinion, that she could not take herself out of it for 2 seconds. She had to go over to back to Balloon Guy Joe and the alcohol. She didn't want to pull herself out of the party. Gross. So anyway, and then there's a moment where Amanda is now trying to have this conversation with Danielle, but Danielle's so over it. She's already gotten spoken to by Paige. So she starts to leave. And now Amanda is like in her head, does she not respect me? Which according to Paige, and Paige says this, she doesn't think that Danielle does respect Amanda, which is like kind of something I never really noticed before. But I don't like that either. I mean, Danielle is really the worst, guys. We can all kind of agree on this, right? She really is the worst. She was the worst last season. Even if she was right about Lindsay and Carl, she handled it horrendously. And then she's bad this season. So then they tell Lindsay, and Lindsay is like a stand-up friend, and she takes care of Gabby. She makes sure she has water. She makes sure she's good. She like kind of basically tucks her in and puts her to bed. And I thought it was actually very sweet. Now, meanwhile, sorry. We have the party continuing. Everyone's just getting completely shithoused. Kyle talks to a voice censored light. Like, Kyle is 7 years old. Kyle can talk to a light and he's like, I've never been happier. He talks to like potato chips at night. Like, Kyle is a mess. And meanwhile, we have Danielle and Balloon Guy Joe being like, you want some of this? Oh, let's kiss. Let's like, ew. I'm sorry. This is going to sound really bad. But any guy that hooks up with Danielle, I immediately look at you like a step lower. I just feel like she is just like, I don't know, guys. I don't know. I'm not feeling it. So meanwhile, Balloon Guy Joe and Danielle go up in the bedroom. They start hooking up. We have the lights, you know, turned off, and we see Danielle's naked body. We see them hooking up. It's so gross. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see that. Carl and Lindsay just like, go to bed. Kyle tells Amanda, my penis is excited. And West and Sierra end up sleeping in the same bed and having the cutest conversation. He's like, I love telling everyone that's my alien girlfriend. And she goes, are you calling me your girlfriend? And he goes, if you're an alien. And she goes, I think you like me. And he goes, I think I do too. Oh my God, it's so cute. If West and Sierra are not still together, I am so devastated. I'm worried that they're not together, but I really, really hope that they are together. I love them so much. I would be so sad if they weren't. And if they aren't together, I hope it's not because one of them was a dick, right? The next morning, Danielle wakes up and says goodbye to Balloon Guy Joe. I can only imagine the way they smell. I don't know. These are the things that I think about when I watch these shows. They're getting up and they're trying to decide who's going to Montauk to continue the party. Of course, Danielle. And who's going back home. Now, Kyle is very, very torn in this moment. Kyle wants to go to Montauk because Kyle is like Danielle. He's like, wherever there's a party, I'm going to go, like a dog, right? But Danielle and Gabby have a conversation and she says, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to make you cry. And she said, I wish I could give you a hug. I want to be your wing woman. I think Gabby's like, that's okay, girl. Like, I think we're okay. Now we have this conversation between Carl and Kyle, because again, Carl likes to plant the seeds in the breaking up of the relationship with every single person on the show and not on the show, but he won't do it with Lindsay. Okay. So he has a conversation with Carl, and he basically says, I didn't realize this until last night that Lindsay wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. Okay. Lindsay never said, I don't want to work. But she said, if I do have kids, I don't want to feel like my husband's not supporting it, contributing it, financial. He's like, I thought Lindsay was this badass hustler woman, and now she's saying she wants to be a stay-at-home mom. He's never had the conversation with her. He should say to her, now, by the way, we've seen Lindsay talk about wanting to be a stay-at-home mom for years. So he just like hasn't been paying attention, but he could have said, wait, you want to be a stay-at-home mom? I didn't know that, but he didn't say that to her, right? He's just hearing this one word and taking it. And now like, oh, Kyle, this is a reason this is not going to work. She's putting so much pressure on me. Now, mind you, I also watch the after show. And if you're not watching the after show, you're missing literally the best part of the show. Because he says in the after show, I had many conversations with Lindsay's exes, and they all agreed that she was very hell-bent on like the husband making money. Meaning he went to Everett. If you guys remember season one Everett, when Lindsay was with Everett, he went to multiple of Lindsay's exes, he said. Fuck you. Literally F you, Carl. Like, let's go to your exes. Oh, I don't think you have any. But Carl is seriously such a jerk. He's making Lindsay come off as like some sort of like gold digger. She's so not that way. Lindsay's always worked. She always will work. She brings in so much money and she continues to bring in money. Like, this guy, Carl, is such a freaking loser. Sorry. I This is where I lose respect for men and women, to be honest. A lot of women that don't work and like are happily not working and just spending their husband's money, I struggle with that a little bit too. You cannot expect to like have a partnership if you just like say, I don't care. Like a man should not expect a woman to be okay with you not wanting to contribute financially and trying. And so just because you hire a career coach for $20,000 and you never get a job after that, that's not trying. That's actually like failing. Just saying. I was not a fan of Carl at all in this episode at all. I mean, I haven't been this whole season actually towards the end, but now more than ever because he avoids conflict at any possible way he can. So he won't talk to Lindsay because he says like, I'm scared to talk to Lindsay. So he's going and planting the seeds that Lindsay's this awful human being. He's going to Kyle and then we'll see. He also goes over to his mom and stepdad. And this was probably one of the craziest scenes I've ever seen. But before we go to mom and stepdad, we have this weird Old Navy scene. Now, I don't say it's a weird scene because I loved it, but I've never seen so much product placement in my life. Old Navy is sponsoring Summer House. There is something going on here. I don't know if we're about to have a line coming out with Amanda. I think one of you guys just said, do you think that you will have a line, like Amanda will have a line, a bikini or bathing suit line at Old Navy? I think that would be an amazing, amazing thing. But something has to happen because not only are they shopping, we see Old Navy from the outside, we see the sign, then we have like six different, you know, B-roll footage of like the pants and the skirts and the dresses. It's a commercial. It is an Old Navy commercial. And this is something that companies do, by the way. That's product placement. So they're talking about, this is cute. This is cute. Oh, this is very cute. This is fun. This basic. It's the strangest thing. I'm sorry. I love the idea that these girls are shopping at Old Navy. There is absolutely no way in hell Paige is shopping at Old Navy. Oh my God. One of you, Mark, literally said that when I said that. I cannot see Paige normally shopping at Old Navy. Paige is obsessed with fashion. That's her business. Like, she literally speaks about fashion. She's such an influencer. She's not going to Old Navy. She may buy a t-shirt at Old Navy, like a white t-shirt or maybe underwear or something. This is a real strain. And honestly, do you guys shop at Old Navy? I've tried. I just never liked their fit, but it's good for my kids. It's great kid stuff. So anyway, they have this serious conversation where Sierra basically says to Amanda, do you feel like your entire existence is lover boy? And Amanda gets emotional because she's like, kind of. And Paige says, I imagine you being this like really, really hardcore businesswoman marketing. And she really has done a good job because Loverboy looks amazing. Like the marketing of Loverboy is great. And that's her. So she is, so they end up, you know, whatever, they're having this serious conversation. I really like the three of them. I feel like if I could be friends with anyone, I would want it to be Paige and Amanda. Paige, just Paige. And Lindsay. I like Lindsay. I want to be Lindsay's friend. I don't think I'm pretty enough to be Lindsay's friend because I've watched a lot of her pictures and videos over the years and all of her friends look like supermodels. Do you notice that? Like Lindsay does not have a friend that doesn't look perfect. It's crazy. So they have a really nice conversation. We also find out that Amanda floated Loverboy in those first years. So without Amanda, Kyle could not have done Loverboy. Like they had no money. So it's pretty... It's pretty interesting. Pretty interesting. I loved that scene. I did think it was an Old Navy commercial, which kind of pulled me out of it a little bit, but I did love the scene. Now, the last scene we have is Carl driving over to mommy's house. Now, I like a guy with a strong relationship with their mother, okay? I think it's an important thing. I think you can tell a lot about a man when you see the way that they treat their mother. I've always felt this way. And as the mother of two boys, I truly do believe that I have a strong, solid relationship with my sons. So I'm not judging the fact that he's close with Sharon. What I am judging is the fact that this is not just a random conversation. The cameras are there for a reason. We've talked about this now so many times, right? Producing these things. You don't just show up at your mom's house with the cameras unless you know it's to have a specific conversation. Carl is playing it off in the after show. Like, I had no idea we were going to talk about that when I was there. Bull. Cameras are not following you to your mom and your stepdad's house to talk about the weather. This is like a huge thing for the cameras. They have to go to the Jersey Shore. It's production. You have to hire people. You have to drive there. It's not like a random conversation that happened to happen in the kitchen of the house during the weekend. So this is 100% a produced scenario. I don't give a crap what Carl says. And he ends up having this conversation with them where they're like, so are you ready for this? And when I tell you, Carl's stepdad, and like, I don't mind the fact that he's being honest and saying, I would never marry you, because he's an ordained minister. He's been doing this for 30 years or whatever. I don't mind the fact that he says this. What I mind is the reason he's saying this is because Carl has told him all these horrible things now for a year, right? Him and Sharon. He calls his mom and his stepdad and complains to them over and over and over about Lindsay. So of course, they're seeing this negative relationship. They're not hearing Lindsay's side. And Lindsay's the villain in their story. And they, like, this conversation where he says, the stepdad says, well, when Lindsay wasn't drinking, you must have really felt supported, huh? I.e., you must not feel supported now. Blaming it on the drinking. I'm sorry. Carl knew what he was getting into with Lindsay, okay? They were drinking. She was drinking when he proposed to her. He didn't propose to someone who said, I'm sober. She did something to support him. She was sober for 6 months. But that was never in the cards, and it was never told, like, you have to be this forever. And I don't like that they're vilifying her, making it sound like she kind of was someone and supportive when she didn't drink, but now that she's drinking. Now, Carl is like playing it up like, I don't want to give up. I love her. I want to fight for this. I really do. But to have your stepdad say on camera, I don't think that you guys should get married. I would never marry you, is so intense. It's so insane to see on a camera. And the fact is that Carl couldn't say to Lindsay, hey, I just went, you know, over to my mom's house and they said this on camera. She had no idea this was coming. Lindsay was completely blindsided by not only the breakup, but even just knowing that these conversations were had. And two judgy girls on Instagram posted on their Instagram a picture of this and said, what did you think of Carl's conversation with his parents? And Lindsay commented on it, he should be a gardener in real life. And she said that because all he's doing is planting seeds left and right. The way he talks about Lindsay to his parents, the way he talks about Lindsay to Kyle, the way he talks about Lindsay in every scenario is not the way you talk about your future wife. It's just not. He was setting this up. He knew he was calling it off. This is not a surprise to him. The fact that the cameras were there when he breaks up, this was all in planning, in my opinion. And I just do not feel in any capacity sympathetic towards Carl in this situation. And Michelle says it right. Like I said, this is what Sandoval tried to do last season about Ariana. We're trying to vilify the person, make them sound so horrible so that when we inevitably break up with them, obviously we did. Look how bad they are. It bothers me tremendously seeing the conversation with his parents. How could they ever get married after this conversation had happened? What woman will ever marry a man who on camera has just been told by mom and stepdad, you shouldn't get married? No woman. Because I don't think women would ever, or a man, I don't think a man would either. Like if I had a conversation with someone who I highly respect, my mom and my stepdad, two people I highly respect about Lance, and they said, we don't think you should get married to Lance. I can't imagine Lance knowing that and saying like, let's get married. It's shady. Exactly. It's shady. And it sucks because Lindsay was out of the loop. Like she knew that Carl had some issues with her, but she didn't know to this extent. And I think it's unfair that he was having all these like behind the scenes conversations and not with her, you know? And also this whole idea that she had to be this like happy-go-lucky baby talking person around him, or it wasn't okay, was also really, really bad. Like Carl has issues, guys. Carl has issues. Carl has demons. Carl is not like, I'm sorry, as Taylor Swift says, like it's him. He's the problem. It's him. She didn't say that, but like I changed it for him. Carl is the problem. And I guarantee you, as of right now, in 2024, we know Lindsay is dating someone very special. We've kind of seen pictures of it. I believe there's other news coming pretty soon with that I'm not going to get into. But Lindsay's off to the races. And Lindsay, mark my freaking words, will be fine. She dodged a bullet with Carl. I think Carl is going to flail and struggle for a long time. And most of it is because I don't think he's able to really actually see the reality of what he's bringing to this relationship. Now, I was messaging with Lindsay because I posted about her in my stories. And I said, Lindsay, with the best comment about the gardening, I said, I am so team Lindsay. She responded, I mean, it's true. And I said, beyond, he drives me insane. I call him paint dry Carl. She said, seriously. So I don't know. I think that, Andrew says Lindsay's a monster also. She verbally attacks someone I know for no reason. I don't think Lindsay's perfect. Trust me. I think Lindsay is highly activated. We've seen her act wild over the last few years. We've seen her act horrible too. But Lindsay has the potential, I think, to grow up. We know that she's also highly successful. She's already invested in an Airbnb in Nashville. It's called like Hub House or something. She's doing really, really well. And I just think that like, I want to see Lindsay on Real Housewives of Beverly of New York. I want to see Lindsay on all these shows. Like, I think Lindsay is reality TV gold. And Carl is not. But Kyle and Amanda can never have a baby, by the way, because if they do, Summer House is over. Because they can't, how can they do Summer House without Kyle and Amanda? It would be so weird. There wouldn't be like that glue. So please, Kyle and Amanda, just don't. Just for us. Just for us. All right, you guys, I appreciate you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being here. Love you. Have an amazing weekend, dosers, and I will see you on Monday. And now I have to enjoy the last 7 minutes until my husband pulls up in the driveway with the kids. I'll talk to you guys later. Love you. Bye.